Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 83. I am Jeff, joined, by, as always, by Chris.
Hey.
Chris, you did not really see too much this week, did you?
I saw Game of Thrones, and I watched a bunch of hockey, but...
Okay.
Yeah, well, in terms of movies, no.
We'll talk Game of Thrones, for sure. Hockey, probably not. Unless you want to tell me about hockey, which I will pretend to care.
The Penguins are leading the Sharks 3-1 in that series. That's all you really need to know.
All right. Is it like playoffs still?
Yeah, it was the finals.
Jeez. Okay. All right. Anyways, so light week for Chris. I saw some movies. Some of it's holdovers from last week and stuff. But I saw the big new, or not, definitely not the big new movie in theaters. I saw a new movie in theaters. It's called Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
That's a mouthful of a title.
I kind of love just saying the full title. I almost wish they just went Never Stop, Never Stopping because it's so dumb. It's from Andy Samberg and Lonely Island. These are the guys from SNL. They do those digital shorts. Probably the most famous one is Dick in a Box.
Right.
So, and this movie is, it's a, like a music mockumentary, kind of like, this is Spinal Tap, except here they're kind of making fun of, like, people like Justin Bieber, pop stars. Okay. Andy Samberg is the title character, Connor for Real. And,
That's a good name.
Yeah. He's very good in it, too, I think. But he was in, like, a boy band called, I think, Style Boys, I don't think they're called. I don't have, like, notes here in front of me or anything. And he goes on his own and does a solo career. And the movie's about, you know, him, his head getting too big and him realizing he has to go back to his roots at some point and, you know, be humbled. I thought it was pretty, I mean, it's a funny movie. The problem is I went into it thinking it was going to be hilarious. Like, I thought I was going to be just laughing out loud the entire time. It's just funny. It's just pretty good. It's not, like, amazing. It's definitely not a movie that you run to the theater to see, in my opinion. I feel like it almost kind of blows its load in the first half hour with a bunch of really funny songs. And they are the best part of the movie, are the songs. Have you seen any of the songs from the movie?
No. Is it kind of in the vein of the songs like from Get 'Em to the Greek, like where they're kind of like a ridiculous like throw ups of like pop music?
Yeah, it's not existing. It's like, you know, it's new songs that they made for this.
Right.
I don't remember Get 'Em to the Greek that well. I just remember I loved it. But yeah. Well, what, like they showed one of the songs on SNL like a week before Popstar came out in theaters, and that was Finest Girl. And the chorus of that song is, she asked me to fuck her like the U.S. government fucked Bin Laden. It's just hilarious. He has another song, this is very early on, and probably my favorite one, about how how gay marriage should be legal and there should be, like, you know, marriage equality and all that. And then the whole song, like, every 2 seconds he's like, but I'm not gay, not gay. It's just really fucking funny. And the best thing is that, like, at the end, I forgot who they're interviewing, but the guy's like, he's making this song about, like, marriage equality and stuff. He's like, but, like, that, like, happened already. He's like, he's arguing for something that's already happened. So, yeah, this is, like, faux documentary style, so it's a lot of, like, people talking to the camera and being interviewed about, you know, this pop star. A lot of famous people off the top of my head, like Usher, Mariah Carey. Jeez, I mean, there's a bunch of people.
Lots of cameos, or are they playing?
They're playing themselves.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, my God, you know, I remember the first time I heard Connor for Real. Like, I don't know, you know. But I feel like they really do blow their load, like, really quick, where, like, all the good songs are up front, and then there's not a whole lot of songs after that. It kind of builds to this big song at the end that's not as funny as the ones at the beginning. And you can see where the story's going. It's kind of like what I already told you. He has to like kind of realize, that his head got too big and he became a dick. That's fine. There's lots of good, laughs throughout. Like I did laugh throughout it. I just wasn't like, belly laughing, like, oh my God, it's a good movie. People are gonna enjoy it when it comes out in video, but it's not one I'd rush out to see in theaters, and I think nobody else did either because it flopped pretty hard,
Oh, really?
from what I heard. Yeah, that one of the coolest things about it though is I went with my girlfriend, and me and her were the only two people in the theater. It's been a long time since that's happened. It was kind of fun. We got to like talk about the previews openly and laugh and fucking drop popcorn and shit all over the place and just be fools in the theater and not
It's
have.
like your own private screening.
Yeah, it's like we're watching it at home except on the big screen. So that was fun. I had a fun time with it. Like I said, I probably wouldn't rush to. It just it doesn't. It feels like an SNL skit that's been stretched out a little bit. But not in a bad way. It's a funny movie. It's just like I said, like my only disappointment is I think I set my expectations too high. I just think those guys are really funny and their music's catchy. That the songs that come out with are actually catchy, I think. And that part, the music is great and it's funny and it's good. I think it's like the song they start the movie with I found really catchy. But you kind of know where it's going and it's it's a joke a minute, and I think it's a little hit or miss, but and I just never super hilarious, but
Sounds like maybe wait for to come out on DVD or Netflix or something like that.
yeah, and it's definitely one that like once it comes out there you'll enjoy it, but you won't be like, oh man, I should have seen this on the big screen. I'm giving it 3 stars. It's probably the highest score I'm giving this week.
Okay. That doesn't bode well.
It's a good movie though. Like I think people will enjoy it once they get around to seeing it. Especially if you like Lonely Island, if you like the SNL digital shorts, you're gonna have a good time with it. I just really thought it was gonna be super hilarious and wasn't quite super hilarious. I also saw a couple other movies, Chris. I saw Zoolander 2, The Boy, and Krampus. Any one of those that you're particularly interested in hearing about?
Krampus, but let's save it. Let's go to Zoolander 2.
Okay.
So I am not a Zoolander fan, so I'm
Yeah.
interested to see where this one goes.
Yeah. Well, Zoolander, I think the original one is kind of a masterpiece.
There's a lot of people that think that. Like,
Yeah.
just it does not. Something about Ben Stiller, like the guy just does not click with me.
Really, like so you don't like have any of his comedies or none of his comedies are like your favorites?
I mean, I enjoy like there's something about Mary,
Yeah.
and the what is it, the Meet the Fockers, not Meet the Fockers, but Meet the Parents.
I love
That
Meet the
one's pretty
Parents.
good.
Meet the Parents is like
Yeah,
kind of underrated, I think.
but more I like those movies like kind of in spite of Ben Stiller. So Ben
Okay.
Stiller being Ben Stiller, like crazy obnoxious Ben Stiller in Zoolander, never really did it for me.
You've seen Zoolander though,
Yeah,
then.
I've seen it.
I remember, I guess, a little backstory here. I remember when it came out, I had zero desire to see Zoolander. I mean, I think my one friend did at the time. And we got it, had a couple beers or whatever, and we were watching it. And so I like went in, thinking this looks stupid, dumb comedy. Like I went in with the highest of resistances to it, and it like won me over because the movie's stupid. It's very stupid. But it's purposely stupid. It knows
Oh
what
yeah,
it's trying.
it's trying to be dumb.
Yeah, and it ended up like just really winning me over from very early on when he accidentally kills all his friends by they have like a gasoline fight at the gas station, blow themselves up, and then he has to give a eugoogly, as he calls it, trying to say eulogy. Yeah, there ended up being like a lot of lines in the movie that I found to be very like quotable as time went on. The eugoogly thing, you should listen to your friend Billy Zane. It just had a really goofy vibe to it, and lots of cameos, and I don't know. Like, it's just, I love that movie. That was like 15 years ago. So
Was it that long ago? Wow.
it was really a long time ago. It was, it came out right around 9/11, because I remember Roger Ebert was uncomfortable with the story because the timing with 9/11.
Yeah, it was 2001. September 28th, 2001.
Yeah, and so like the plot of the first one was something about trying to kill the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and at the
Yes.
time, Roger Ebert was like, this feels like tone deaf compared to like what we're going through right now as a country, blah blah
Right,
blah.
and there were a bunch of movies at the time that kind of, hey, maybe we shouldn't release right now, and they kind of pulled themselves.
Didn't they delay Training Day or something because of that?
I believe that sounds accurate.
They either delayed Training Day or they released it and but no, but I want to say they delayed it. Anyways, yeah,
No,
but
Training Day came out 5th of October, so maybe it was supposed to come out earlier.
yeah, I think it was maybe supposed to come out the weekend of or something. And I was like, no one's in the mood for this right now, No one was in the mood for anything for a little while. But
Right.
anyways, so yeah, so I don't know what the hell it took them so long to kind of capitalize on the success of Zoolander. I mean, if they were waiting for like the right script or whatever, this wasn't
They should have kept waiting.
it. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm gonna be honest. I did not hate Zoolander 2. It was fun to see these characters again. It's just as dumb, but like a lot of times it's maybe not always on purpose, some of the things they're doing. I don't know, it's just not as funny. The story is like there's like way too much going on. Like it ends up being the story about how like there was Adam and Eve and Steve, and
Okay.
Zoolander has a son now who is like the great descendant of Steve, and they're trying to like, and he that so he holds the secret to the Fountain of Youth, and Mugatu, who is, hang with me here, who
This
is what's his name's character, Will Ferrell's character, is trying to kidnap Zoolander's son. So that like he could kill him, like sacrifice him and get the Fountain of Youth from him. Yeah, that's like
Sounds so dumb.
yes, and they know it's dumb, but like it's just kind of like way like there's like way too many things going on, like the fact that he has a son and then like he's trying like.
Yeah, that's like it's not like, oh, this is dumb, we're gonna, brainwash a male model to kill somebody. This
Yeah.
is like this is really convoluted for any movie,
Yeah, you can
let
already
alone
figure that
this
out.
dumb comedy movie.
But there's already like, yeah, there's like on top of that, they have to explain that Zoolander has a son and that he got him taken away from him because he did some stupid like Michael Jackson shit, like hold him over a balcony. I can't even remember. And so like there, so then there's the plot of him trying to get his son back. There's the plot of like. I don't know, like his wife got killed. Do you remember the school for ants that they from the
Yes.
first
Yes.
So he actually built the school for ants, but he used the same materials that were was in the model museum for it. So it was like popsicle sticks and like glue and shit. And at the unveiling it like collapsed like and just like crumbled apart and his wife was killed in it. And his friend Hansel, played by Owen Wilson, his face was permanently scarred, and so like it's just like kind of plot heavy for something that should just be like, hey, remember these characters? Let's have another like dumb adventure with
Right,
them.
like here's the simple premise. We're just gonna do dumb shit.
And but you do get to hey, you get to spend another hour and 40 minutes or so with these characters that if you're like me, you really enjoyed them.
Right.
And there are some jokes that work. Like the movie starts with like this motorcycle chase and you don't know who's getting chased, and finally like they corner this guy and he like takes his helmet off and it's Justin Bieber, and the dude on the other motorcycle just fucking shoots Justin Bieber a million times. And so any movie that
That's
kills
amusing,
Justin
yeah.
yeah any movie that kills Justin Bieber in the first like 5 minutes I can't entirely hate, and it's such like violent like over the top fashion. The other thing that should be noted about this movie is It probably has the largest cameo roster I've ever seen in any movie. Like, there's ones that are like so fast, like it's blink and you'll miss it. Like, I went on IMDb after seeing the movie and I was like, I don't remember seeing Kanye West in this. Or like,
He's in it for like
there's
3 seconds.
I might have missed him. Maybe he was in makeup and I didn't notice. Like, there's one part where like Katy Perry shows up and really like it's half a second of her, and then she rips her face off and she's Mila Jovovich, which like one of the villains from the first movie. And if so, if you're just like not paying attention and looking for that, you wouldn't notice it was Katy Perry. You know what I mean? So it's just
Right.
like there's tons of people in this movie, and that's kind of cool. But like I said, some of them like Katy Perry was like a waste. You didn't do anything with her. Like, at least Justin Bieber, you fucking murder him, you know, like real bad. So, but yeah, I watched the movie as a hangover movie. I was pretty damn hungover and drifting in and out of paying attention, and it worked all right. It functioned as that. It wasn't good. Don't get me wrong here.
Something to have on making noise.
Yes, and you know. Like I said, I think if
Like
you're,
you enjoyed the character, so there's
yeah,
that.
like if you're a huge fan of the original, it's like, why not watch it? Like, just don't expect it to be good.
I
Like,
wonder if it does it suffer from kind of what Anchorman 2 kind of did, where it's just this return after so many years and they just don't seem to know what the hell to do with.
yeah. I never saw Anchorman 2, and I have to be honest, I was never like crazy about Anchorman 1, which. I know, I'm an asshole. Like, everyone.
No, I mean, like I find Anchorman funny, but I don't quite understand the ad like the adoring love of it, but
I think that a lot of it was like movie critics, you know, they're in the news business kind of. Like,
right, so was
they get
poking
the
fun at that,
jokes.
yeah.
But I know people as well, like, I know just like love Anchorman, so. Yeah, whatever. If you like Zoolander, I'd say give this a shot. It's on DVD now, so you can rent it, whatever, Redbox it, do whatever. It's bad. It's not a good movie. I'm giving it 2 stars. I did not hate it. The do-over was way, way worse. Like, I almost want to go back to the do-over and be like, that's a 1 star and this is a 2. Because, I mean, at the very least, this one is not full of misogynistic humor or complete lack of humor. I don't know, but they're trying. It's just most of it falls flat, and it's a little kind of
That's
loaded
just
with the plot.
disappointing.
Yeah.
Where the other Krampus and oh the boy, so two
Yeah.
horror films here. Do you want to jump into Krampus? Because that's like a, is it a horror comedy type thing or is it straight
It's
horror?
a horror comedy.
Which you're not a big fan of.
Not, yeah, usually not. I'd rather, like, for me, a horror movie is best when it's like super disturbing,
Right.
or I go back. I like all types of horror, I guess. Like, I like stuff that like is really atmospheric or stuff that's just fun. But horror comedy is usually like, I'm trying to think of ones off the top of my head that I think are great and drawing a blank. Gremlins, that's what this movie wants to be. That's a great one.
Okay. All
That's what
right,
this
so their
movie.
point of reference, Gremlins. All
Yeah.
right.
This movie kind of wishes it was that. The premise is that there's a family getting together for Christmas, and there's a big snowstorm, and Krampus shows up, which is this fucking goat devil fucking thing. That's like, it's like supposed to be like Santa's evil twin or whatever. Like, I guess it's based off real mythology that's out
Yeah,
there.
I believe so.
Yeah, I had never heard of Krampus until this movie, and then I guess there's like other Krampus movies out there that were made before this, but anyways, yeah, I was not aware of it. It's based off something real. It's like Santa's evil. We'll call him his Santa's evil twin or his shadow, and he
Okay.
comes, you know, when you forgot the spirit of Christmas to teach you a lesson or
All right,
whatever.
so that this family is kind of a miserable,
I
maybe?
guess like the kid in it is, because they're all like bickering and idiots. There's kind of like a like National Lampoon's like Christmas vacation or whatever vibe going.
Okay.
Because you have the one, there's the core family, and there's the kid who's like upset with his family for whatever reason. And then you have like the visiting like uncle and aunt, right? And like the like step grandma. I don't know, dude. I'm kind of far removed from it at this point. It's been like about 2 weeks since I've seen it. But the visiting family kind of reminds me of like Randy Quaid's family from the
Okay.
Nick Cage movies, where like they're kind of like the dumb hillbillies. The dad in that is David Koechner, I believe his name is. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think he was in Anchorman, and you'd recognize him if you saw his face.
Right.
He's pretty, he's good in it. It's so like they show up, they're all bickering and shit. Snowstorm happens and they get cut off from like society and stuff, and Krampus shows up and starts fucking with them, picking them off and stuff. And there's a grandma in the family who she's like from like Nazi Germany or I don't know, dude. I don't remember, but she like knows who Krampus is, so she like finally explains to them like, when you forget the spirit of Christmas, when I was a little kid, my parents were fighting and I was unhappy and I wished, something bad on my family, and so he showed up to teach me a lesson, and both my parents were killed and they've been dead since that like Christmas and stuff and blah 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 blah. The movie I don't feel is ever really scary, and I think it struggles to be funny for a lot of it. That said, I was kind of enjoying my time with. There are parts that are kind of funny, like the visiting family's kid, when they sit down to Christmas dinner, he has like his own 2 liter of Mountain Dew that he's drinking straight out of, like this fat kid. And it's just like little things like that. They're like,
It's like
like
this is absurd.
it has a goofy vibe, like it's going for some laughs. But it just try to go for some scares, and it has some fun things to it. Like, it's not just Krampus that we're getting. You're getting evil gingerbread men, and
That
they're
sounds fun.
like Krampus has all these little helpers. I'm trying to remember who else he had besides gingerbread men. Some terrifying looking stuff too, actually. I drawn a blank though. Like that's cool. And also the thing that I really loved about this movie is it wasn't afraid to put kids in peril, and it wasn't afraid to knock people off one by one. Like you're just like, oh, whoa, shit, that's like a main character dead now. Holy crap, so not entirely terrible or anything. Like I actually was going towards a semi-positive review for the movie until the end of the movie, and it has one of the worst endings that I hate in any movie. And I don't know if you want me to say it, but it's a very common terrible ending of stories.
Sure.
It was all a dream.
Oh, that sucks. That makes me not want to watch it now. Like,
Yeah, it ruined it. Like I
it's
was
like you
like,
just wasted an hour and a half, 2 hours of your
yeah,
time.
I was not blown away by the movie as I'm watching it, but up until that point, I was going, you know what? This it has like some cool gags in it. It has cool looking like villains, like these gingerbread men and other like helpers of Krampus. It has some kind of laughs and like it has a lot of things that like I could appreciate and give it a positive recommendation, but nothing was truly amazing. And then you get to an ending that is like I think truly awful. Like you can't, that should not be allowed.
Well,
It should not be.
there's no consequence to anything. Nothing actually
Yeah,
happened, so.
there is a little bit of a spin on that. It was all of a dream, but I don't want to say it. But essentially that is kind of like the cop out that they do.
Right.
And yeah, it kind of like it made me from going, this is a decent movie that deserves like a look by some people who passed it up, to going like, God, that fucking ending ruins it. Like, I don't know about you, but when I get a that was a dream ending, I'm like livid. So that was very disappointing. It bumps me down to a 2 for it. Sorry to say.
It's not your fault.
I just can't abide by that shit. Like, I can't
No,
give.
that's frustrating.
Yeah. I know there are people who might argue with me about the It's a Dream, like, whether that's correct, but it is. Just admit it, guys, if you've seen it. Anyways. So yeah, that's Krampus. Like, it's not, it's far from terrible, but that ending makes it terrible. So come up with something better. Commit then, you know, like, because that's the thing. They're killing all these people off, and then you're like, wow, that's really ballsy. Well, yeah, it's easy to kill everyone off when they're all gonna wake up at the end and oh,
Right.
kid learned his lesson because he had a bad dream. Yeah, fuck that. Not fun. Then there's the boy.
So this, I know a little bit about this. I was mildly interested. It is about a girl who basically gets hired to be a live-in nanny,
Yes.
for a couple whose son is a doll.
Yeah, creepy looking doll.
Okay.
It's an old couple, and they hire her. It's like in England somewhere, and she's from America, but she comes for this job. And the old couple gives her a bunch of rules for watching the boy and things like she's supposed to like give him like reading lessons and music lessons and feed him at this time, do this and that. Don't ask me how she's supposed to feed him. They don't explain. And the old couple, like, they are going on holiday, they call it like vacation, and they'll be back at some point, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, we could really get into it because this movie, dear God. And she came all the way from America to England because she was running away from an abusive ex-boyfriend. Like, she's like, if I run far away enough, like, he won't be able to find me. All right,
Right.
so
Common theme.
yeah, and it's for the most part, like, as it's going along, it's completely watchable and it's atmospheric, and you're kind of wondering what's going on. And she, as soon as they leave, she's like, this is ridiculous. She doesn't follow any of the rules. She doesn't do anything with the doll except throw it in a corner and throw like a blanket over it. And like, all right, I'm gonna chill in this house for the next however long until they come
Right.
back. And weird things start happening. And then there's another guy who works for this couple. Like, he drops off their groceries and shit. He's checking in on her and kind of flirting with her, and he becomes like a love interest, another character in this. And that's the way it goes. Weird stuff starts happening, and she starts to become convinced that maybe that the boy is real or possessed or it's a ghost, but something is happening, right? And I guess without saying more on that, like, the movie, there will be people who watch The Boy and think that it is really cool and really clever, and oh my God, I did not see that twist coming, and it was brilliant, the best twist since whatever,
Right.
That's all fine and well. And you might think that until you stop and think about anything, because none of it makes any fucking sense. Like, if you accept everything at face value, I guess, oh yeah, it's kind of neat that they came up with that. But if you stop to think about anything, it's terrible, like, beyond terrible. This is one of the most contrived plots I have ever seen in my life, where nothing any makes real logical sense. Everything it happens because that's what the plot needs it to happen. Like, the way the characters react is because the plot needs them to do that so that certain things can happen. And the twist, while you might not initially think, oh, that's so, like, I didn't see that coming. Well, because you couldn't, because it doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. Like, it's nearly as clever as it thinks it is. So while it's like atmospheric and watchable for most of it, as soon as things start to add up and reveal themselves, like, if your brain is turned on at all, you're gonna start to really, in my opinion, just detest the movie. Like, it's just terrible, man. Like, I don't know if you want me to tell you any more than that, but it's a two just because it's watchable. But like, I hate the plot of this movie so much I can't even tell you. And I'll give you one example of something that I'm talking about that really fucking bugged me is, so she has this new love interest guy that, like, she's been hanging out with, like, this guy that also works for this couple, right? And at one point, her abusive boyfriend shows up, like, out of the blue. This guy from America, he shows up, and it's like a big, oh no, he's there. And she just tells her like new friend to leave, and she's like, "Don't worry, I'm gonna try to get the doll to attack my boyfriend, and everything's gonna be fine." And you're like, one, why would she tell her new friend to leave? Because she's being left with her old abusive boyfriend. Two, why doesn't she just have him go outside and call the cops? Why is she gonna try to have like this doll that she believes is alive try to attack her ex-abusive? Like, it doesn't make zero sense. She had a
Well,
perfect opportunity
I mean, and
to.
I haven't seen it,
Yeah.
so but so you have your abusive ex-boyfriend, and
Yeah.
you're gonna try and manipulate this. You're hoping that this doll attacks him,
This
but
doll that she kind of believes might be alive, but she's never seen it move. But she
right,
thinks, yeah.
but also completely neglect it
Yeah.
for the entire time that she's been there, so.
No, what she does start to believe that it could be alive, she starts to treat it like a real kid and like actually
Oh, okay. So
like fall in love with
she
it, which is
starts to
also
kind of
like,
weird.
yeah, like it's also ridiculous because instead of when she thinks something creepy is happening, she like just leaves or does something or like
Yeah, like, oh,
just
this fucking doll's alive? Nope. Yep. Nope.
no. So she's like, well, I always wanted to be a mom. It's just like it's so everything in the plot. Like I almost want you to see this so you could just be like,
This is stupid.
because like I could tell you, I could really tear this fucking movie apart. But like I have not revealed anything big to you. Like, I guess the biggest thing is that her ex-boyfriend does show up at some point. But that's it's so set up early on that he's like this danger that she's running away from
Well,
that like
yeah, it almost it, like
you're like
you
okay yeah
almost it's way too much foreshadowing there. Like, if you're
it's
gonna set it up that, like, you could just have her. The better way to do that without like him having to show up is you just have it set up that she's running away from her past life. Like, you don't have to explain what it is. You just.
yeah it's very much when you see a gun in the first act something has that gun has to play into the end
Right.
But like, dear God, the twist, like once you get the twist, and if you actually sit there and think about it, like it makes absolutely zero sense. If you don't think about it, if you don't think about it and you're just like, ooh, whoa, like I did not expect that. But if you actually start to think about it, it's fucking it's terrible. And like I just hate the plot of this movie. Like, and I was kind of enjoying it as it was going along. I like what's her name from The Walking Dead. She's like the main
To
character.
Maggie
Yeah, Laura,
Cohen.
Lori Cohen, Lauren Cohen. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I
Yeah.
said
She's pretty to look at, I guess. Like, and the doll's creepy. Like, it has some good atmosphere going on in it, but like, dude, dear God, is this? It's the one of the most contrived plots I've ever seen. Everything is just like, mechanically put together for the plot to happen without ever making any sort of real logical sense or character motivation sense. Like I said, like she has this guy shows up she thinks is dangerous, and she has a perfect opportunity to be like, tell her buddy that she's about to like her new fuck buddy on the side, like, yo, why don't you go home and call the cops? Instead, she tells him, "No, don't worry, I'm gonna handle this because I think that maybe the doll will do something." And he goes along with it. Like, it's so fucking. Like, they've never actually seen this doll actually moving. She just starts to believe it because weird things have been happening. And yeah, and then the reveal about what's going on with the doll is just, it's fucking terrible. I'm sorry to anyone that likes this. Like, if you like this, you're wrong. This is not acceptable writing. So yeah, it's a two. I almost hope you do see it one day so that we could discuss the twist because it's maddening. So, anyways, yeah, I think that covers everything I've
Yeah,
seen.
I think that's what you kind of told me in pre-show, that that's
Yeah.
what you had. I only saw Game of Thrones this week, so.
Well, that is the best thing out of everything we've talked about. So,
So
might as well
you
talk
are
about it a
fully
little bit.
back on board then with this, like, 'cause I know you were wavering a bit
I
with
do
season
still think that
four.
this series is never going to recapture what it was. I don't know if you like if you're eye to eye with me on that. I just feel like it's good now. Like, this season's good and it's getting better, and there's things I'm excited to see. But even if we get everything that this season is promising us, I don't feel it's as strong as the first couple seasons, especially season four.
Sure. I could see that.
But I'm definitely into what's going on now, and
It's fun.
yeah. And if they pay off what they've been setting up these, last 7 weeks or so, I'm gonna have a lot of fun with the last three episodes.
I mean, I'm sure we're not going to get full payoff for everything they've been setting up, but because
You
it.
never know. I mean, yeah, but you'd think, well, where does it go from there then if they do pay everybody off?
Right, there's still two more seasons left, so.
There's always so many things hanging out there, and that's the thing is like the show does evolve a lot. Where like used to be the Starks and the Lannister show, it's not that anymore. You know what I mean? So they could always create new things, I guess.
It's still kind of the Starks and the Lannisters. Like there's more to it now. Like Danny is definitely a bigger piece, but
I
it's
think
still
there's
very much the Starks
bigger.
and the Lannisters.
It almost feels like the conflict between them is almost like dead, though. Like it's more like the Starks just trying to like survive, and it's them versus the
The
Boltons. Is that,
Boltons right
yeah.
now, yeah. But I mean, in terms of the overall, like it is still very much
Like
centered on the Stark children and still very much centered on the Lannister children as well, so.
I do still think like those two families are the most interesting thing about the show still.
Yeah.
Like for me, this season, like the big payoffs, if they happen, are the confrontation at Winterfell and the confrontation in King's Landing. You know what I mean? Like, do we get both of them? I think that we do.
I think we will get both of those,
Yeah.
because well, you have to close out the Cersei storyline going on in King's Landing. Like you can't keep that dragging out. It's been dragging on for almost 2 seasons now, so.
Well, and then Ramsay, though, Ramsay Bolton has been like a villain since what, season two?
In a way, yeah. But
Like he's been like a really de like he's been around, and he's been a very detestable character since he showed up.
yeah, and the Boltons have now had Winterfell for
Like a season and a half.
yeah, so I mean about almost 2 seasons for both of those. Yeah, it's a bit long. You need to tie it up.
If we get the payoff on those, like one, obviously, I think what happens in Winterfell is like very crucial to like the show going forward into the last two seasons because it's going to determine like how many Starks we got left, if any. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, and those are the people that we're rooting for. I mean, I guess on the Lannister side, I think there are people to root for, kind of.
I mean, Tyrion.
Yes, I mean he's far removed, and he has not been around for a couple episodes, which is upsetting. And they haven't done shit with him since he killed his dad, in my opinion. It's kind of sad.
I mean,
A little bit,
yeah,
very
like
little.
this season he had some stuff going on early when Dany wasn't around, but now that she's back, he's or well the, not so much that she's back, now that the story's kind of shifted focus to what's going on directly with her
Yeah.
as opposed to the mystery of where she is. It's he's taken a back seat, but
Like watching him do negotiations was fun, and then him trying to explain to the what are they called again? The Unsullied,
yeah.
like why he was doing that, and them not buying it, and like that whole thing was like it was good, it was well written, but it's like just Tyrion, like his storyline with his family was just so incredibly potent, and now it's kind of like pushed to the side, like. There's been zero of Cersei going like, "Where's my little imp brother this
Oh,
season?"
yeah. Well, I mean, she certainly
She's
had other
just,
things on her mind, but
yeah. But you know what I mean? Like it's
yeah.
deflated, and it's like it feels like he doesn't have a whole lot to do and a whole lot at stake
But
for
yeah, he's all the way across the other side. It's
yeah.
the problem that Dany has too as a character, 'cause she doesn't feel important to what is going on in Westeros. You know she's important. because they've, you know, they've
Yeah.
built her up to be something, and that her whole goal is to go back to Westeros and capture her, you know, father, grandfather, or father's throne.
They're starting to tie it in though with the Greyjoys, you know, and like that. Like, I hope by the end of the season, there's some like. I hope she's on a goddamn ship headed for Westeros by the end of the season. You know what I mean? Like, so we could get past that. Her like just not doing anything. Like, you
So,
know.
did you catch the Polygon article?
No,
That
but I there.
there's a headline out there. The Polygon article is basically that. I think the actual title is Daenerys is going to die.
That they know this, or that's just like
No,
a
it's a speculative article, but it's actually really well thought out. Like, you
I'd be
know.
surprised though. Anyway, go, yeah,
Well,
what, like,
it's where they, you know, match up what Daenerys Targaryen is going to die is what the article's called. It's an opinion piece by some guy who's not even actually a Polygon writer. Like, he's just
okay.
a in, but he lays it out as how she's a conqueror, and George R. R. Martin is not really necessarily fond of conquerors. And he's killed off multiple ones in the series. And starting with Khal Drogo, like this,
Yeah.
like he actually ties the speech that she gave to the speech that Drogo gives in the first season, and how he ends up dead very shortly thereafter. Like, I don't necessarily agree, and I'd be angry if she died, if she were to be killed
Yeah.
off, because like I actually enjoy her as a character, but. But
I
yeah,
guess.
like she's kind of like, what do you do with her if she comes over? Like, she has the dragons, like
Yeah.
they're kind of like all powerful, so she would just be able to destroy shit.
There's always a way. Like, there's a way to kill the walkers, and you know,
Right.
like, I would be surprised just because of what an emphasis they place on her at the end of seasons and at the end of certain
Yeah.
episodes. It's like she is almost like this other force, just like how like they say winter is coming. It's like she's coming too. You know, they always kind of cut to her near the end of episodes, like. Just remember, she's super
Yeah, she's
powerful if you're
still out
coming.
there.
Yeah. That's not to say that she won't die, but I think that if she dies without getting anything done, sort of like without having a sort of any sort of impact, that makes her whole story for nothing. So
Yes. No,
she's gonna get to Westeros. She's gonna have some impact before she dies, if she does. You know what I mean? At least if I'm the writer, I'd say, yo, she has to do something here, because. You spent lots of hours on her to have her just, if she just dies
Yeah,
on the way.
you can't, like, I think,
She starves on a
like,
ship.
you want to talk about people, yeah, she just starves, she just dies, like, it's like, I'm really hungry, now I'm dead.
Yeah.
Now, like, you think people were upset about, like, The Walking Dead ending. If she were to die without having done anything, like,
It'd be
of
such a
important in
waste.
Westeros, it would just be like, what the fuck, you wasted
Yeah.
half of my time with this series. But it'd be it's an interesting article, well worth a read. And there, I guess there's so many weird theories out there, like about what's going on with Arya and Jon Snow and Sansa, and it's nuts the amount of like speculation that the show has kind of brought on recently.
I just, if it pays off on the stories that they've set up for the last two seasons with these last three episodes, though, I'm happy. Like, I'll be happy with this season at the very least. It's looking like it's going to, because I don't know if you saw some of the news about like the episode titles and stuff.
The only one that I know of is the one for this coming week, episode 8. Is it 8? I think it's 8.
Yes, it's called
No,
No
no
One.
one. Yeah. So it's definitely gonna tie up Arya's
No,
story
yeah, with
in
the
Braavos,
faceless people or whatever they're
which
called.
I mean, if she's legitimately dying or dead there, like it's you wasted all that time that she
I
spent
want the
there.
I want the Hound to find her and fuck shit up, which, by the way, that was a great, like,
Yeah.
I hate like when shows kill people off and oh they're not really dead, but like I love the Hound so much that him coming back was like fuck yeah, you know?
He's a great character.
Yeah,
Just
great actor
yeah.
and yeah, I just it's I'm I was just like glad to have him back.
And he's gonna rip some shit up very shortly.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly where he is
Yeah,
because
I wasn't sure.
I'm hoping he's near Arya. Like, if he's gonna go to town and he's gonna see Arya bleeding, and he's gonna be like, "Oh snap!" But yeah, it was just great to have him back. Like, I really want them to team up again because the chemistry between them two was really strong for the season or so that they spent together. So yeah, but there's a few things. Like, one thing is, I guess, like the last episode of the season is gonna be the longest episode yet.
Okay.
At 69 minutes, so it's an hour and 9 minutes, but I guess that's the longest episode. There has no, you know, there has not been
Yeah,
one
most
that.
of them are under an hour,
Yeah,
so.
so that's cool. I know the episode or the title of all three last episodes, and one of them is really awesome. So I don't know if you want to know it or not.
No.
Okay,
Just,
okay. If
because.
you've avoided it, I guess then.
Yeah, I think. Like, having read the books prior, like, I'm actually enjoying not knowing what's coming. Like, it's an interesting way to approach the show. 'Cause, like, before it was like, oh, I kind of know where this is going, even if they changed pieces here and there.
So you somehow missed the article about like, you know, because there was an article. I think I clicked on an article that was like, the last episode is going to be the longest yet. I clicked on it, I started reading it, and they also went into the episode titles, and one of them got me very excited. Just put it that, leave it at that.
I'm interested to see where this is all going, though, so.
I think that we're going to get some payoffs. We're going to get some cool things in these last three episodes. Pretty excited.
All
So
right.
leave it at that. As for next episode of Movie Dudes, I don't know. I'm don't really have anything lined up. Like, I know I said last week though, I was gonna see nothing in the theater. I went ended up going to see Popstar. So like sometimes I forget what's coming out in theaters that week, and then I
Right.
see it and I'm like, oh, I'm going. So
Let's see. Actually, this weekend is a little. Well, Conjuring 2's out. I may try and get out to see that.
here's my thing is I enjoyed the first Conjuring, but not enough that I really want to see a sequel. And I also heard that the sequel's over 2 hours, which is like,
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes. That's a
again,
long time for a horror film.
it's a long time for anything, again, with these fucking 2 hour plus movies.
Wow, Warcraft is short.
110 minutes needs to be your limit, guys. Come on. Editing.
I'm like sitting here, so I'm like, The Conjuring is 2 hours and 13 minutes. Now You See Me 2 is 1 hour and 55, and that's getting garbage reviews. And then Warcraft is clocking in at 100 minutes even. Like, that's
For an
nuts.
epic, yeah.
For yeah, like this epic blockbuster movie is 100 minutes. Like, that's
Yeah.
crazy.
That show I listen to, We Hate Movies, they have this saying when they're talking about a shitty movie, they're like, this movie is longer than Star Wars. It's just like, because it's like, you know, you're watching some dumb, shitty movie. How the fuck is it longer than fucking something like Star Wars that sets up a whole world
Right.
in, I forgot how long the first one is, but whatever. Anyways, but yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, that's not to say, like, Conjuring 2, one thing I heard about it today, which made me interested, is that James Wan passed up doing Fast and the Furious or something to do this. Like, this is like a passion thing for him, so.
So he passed on doing the next Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, to do Conjuring 2, which,
Okay.
I mean, so it's not just him going, I'm cashing in on the success. It's something he really wants to
Right,
do.
because he could have cashed in on. I mean, not that he's hurting for movies though. He's evidently directing the Robotech and the Aquaman movie, so.
I thought I saw something where he pulled out of Aquaman,
That,
but
yeah, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes right now, so maybe they haven't updated it, but.
maybe the thing I saw wasn't right either. But yeah, like, this guy gets lots of work. Like, you know,
He's
everything
good.
he does is pretty successful. Yeah, but for him to pass up on Fast and Furious, which is, I'm sure, a huge paycheck and an easy success, to say I want to do a follow up to Conjuring, makes me believe that like he had an idea for this, or like he's really excited about this one. So that's cool, but I don't know if I make it to the theater for that.
So there was an article about a month ago about how James Wan possibly wanted out of Aquaman, but the latest articles on all that is that he chose to direct Aquaman over The Flash.
Okay.
So I don't know where it is.
I can't believe there's gonna be an Aquaman movie,
Right?
but I mean that was like the whole plot of Entourage, wasn't it? The guy wanted to be an Aquaman.
It's fucking Aquaman.
And like that was the
Whatever.
joke is that they were making an Aquaman movie directed by James Cameron, I think.
That would have
Anyway.
been pretty.
It's just like the whole joke, like that that they would even make an Aquaman movie was the joke, I think, but
Right.
whatever.
All
Crazy.
right. Well, we will be back next week, I suppose.
Perhaps with things.
Yeah, something.
I'll have seen Dirty Grandpa,
Okay.
which I know you're dying to hear about.
I very much so.
All right.
All
Thanks for
right.
listening. We'll
Yep.
be back.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.